All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple Bible verses, then we're going to pray and get started. So you guys good with that? It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. So we're going to start in the first chapter of James, chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. You guys probably all know it. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, another word for patience, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now we're going to jump to the end of James, right? Let's see if we notice a patient or a pattern. James 5, verses 7 and 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord has finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now let's jump one more. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. What? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, steadfastness, patience, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that your wisdom be shared and not mine. I pray that your words be spoken and not mine. And I pray for your glory and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So I'm just going to be totally honest in my opening, right? I'm just going to just throw it out there, right? We're all friends. We're all good. I didn't really want to talk tonight, right? I didn't want to do this, which, like, yeah, Patty looks at me like, what? Like, put me on a stage. I'll do it anything. Like, yeah, I'm in. Everybody's going to be looking at me. That sounds awesome. I didn't want to talk tonight. And the reason I didn't want to talk tonight, as I, like, thought about this and prepared for it over the last few months, you know, it was on my schedule a long time ago, and I was thinking about it and getting ready for it. Here's the thought that I had. I have nothing left to give. I've got nothing, right? The last few months, they've just been hard, right? Like, we got a new baby. We've got a really high-energy three-year-old. I work a lot. I travel for work a lot. And between all the different responsibilities in my life, I'm like, dude, there's nothing left in the tank. Like, I can't give anything left. There's nothing there. And I was like thinking about it and praying about it. And I had a perfect excuse. I'm supposed to be in Maryland right now, right? They call me. They want me there. I made them change, right? I was like this close to being like, all right, I got to be, right? I changed the schedule. I am here because I heard the Lord say to me, write yourself a message. Write down the things that you need to hear. Take control of your situation. Look at it reflectively and write your own message. Write your own encouragements. And maybe, hopefully, in faith, you guys will be blessed just by what I need. This is just one guy like, dude, this is kind of hard. Like, this life thing, it gets kind of difficult sometimes, right? Like, it's not me like, this is what you need to do. This is me like, dude, this is what I need to do. Maybe, I don't know, you can listen or just go on your phone. It's up to you. I can't. So preparing for this message, right? And like I was telling Pastor this when I got here, I should have known I was going to be tested in it, right? Like, it's been like difficult, and you know, like life's been, you know, it's a struggle in general. And then so Sunday, so I had my whole outline done. I had most of my scripture references figured out, And I'm like, all right, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to sit down, get out my laptop, pour a big hot cup of coffee, sit down at the table. I'm just going to fill out my notes. I'm going to make the PowerPoint. It's supposed to be a little windy, you know, so it'll be a perfect day, right? It sounds good. It'll be kind of relaxing. I'm going to enjoy it. So Sunday comes along, and, like, it's time for that to happen. And all of a sudden, like, boom, power's out. So I'm like, oh, okay, power's out. Not a big deal. We got a generator to take care of that, right? So generator kicks on. It's like an automatic thing. Kicks on, but the power doesn't come on. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to have to go down to the basement and fix this. So, like, I go down to the basement, and, like, don't be impressed by me saying fix it, right? It's just, I'm just flipping switches. I'm just like, does it work? No? I'll try it again, right? I'm just, like, flipping switches. So I'm down in the basement flipping switches, and, like, it's been, like, really wet and, like, rainy and everything, and the power's out, so the sump pump's not working. So, like, my basement is actively flooding. So I'm like, switch, gotta get this thing running. That's not working. The tide's rising, right? And I'm down there. I'm freaking out. And then I hear the loudest noise, like, ever. And I'm like, what was that? So I, like, swim my way back to the stairs. And I, like, run upstairs. I look out in the yard, and I realize that the brand new steel roof that we spent the whole summer putting on my barn had blown off. And at that exact moment, Emma comes walking up behind me and goes, Daddy, I just peed my pants. I'm like, what? Could this get any worse? Did this day get any harder? Right? For like in 5 minutes, I was like, this is a good day. We're going to talk about struggle and, you know, everything's perfect. And it was just like, this is terrible. Right? It just like hit me. But I've been listening to pastors' messages, right? I didn't freak out. I didn't swear. It was windy. I don't know what I was saying, right? But it was, right? But I'm proud of myself, right? But guys, here's what I found out sitting down and when I actually had time and it was pitch black working out this thing is that you can find joy in the struggle. Right? You can laugh at it and you can find joy in it. And so I actually had to edit my title slide because, guys, we don't need to just survive the struggle, right? We can thrive in the struggle. So I wanted to rename it to a Sir Thrival Guide, right? So that we can learn how to find joy, like Paul talked about, how to find that joy during our struggles. And guys, you know, like, I freaked out, like, you know, like, the roof blew off. Insurance will take care of it. I'm believing in that, right? Come on. If anybody works for State Farm, call me. Right? The power came on. We got the generator working. I figured out the right on switch to turn on, right? We had, and our nieces and nephews came over from across the street because we had heat. We had a big pizza party, right? It turned out okay. It's fine. And he's like, why didn't you call me, bro? Yeah, I'll call you, man, next time. Right? So that's what I want to talk about, is thriving in our struggle, finding joy, like legit finding joy, not like crazy person joy, but legit finding joy. So that's what we're going to talk about, just my thoughts as I was like in it, like, okay, God, how do I do this? First thing that we need to do to find joy in our struggle is control our perspective. Right? Your perspective is the lens through which you view the world. Right? And a lot of us, as soon as we get on hard times, we're like, this is terrible. It's hard. It's always been hard. I have a bad life. Right? And like, I'm going off notes. I don't know. So I was on the plane two weeks ago, right? And like I'm sitting there and we're supposed to take off, we didn't. Supposed to take off, we didn't. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I want to watch the movies on the thing. Like, come on. And so this guy finally comes on. Right? This guy is all over the place. He's like a disheveled mess. He's got a cardboard box full of fruit on an airplane. I'm like, what is this guy doing? And he's the reason we were waiting for this guy to get on the plane. He's the reason. And he gets on and he sits in the chair behind me. And he's telling the stewardess, like, oh, man. You know, I was supposed to fly to Rochester, then I had to get bumped to Buffalo because I booked on Expedia. I'm like, you booked on Expedia? No wonder. And he's just like complaining. And he goes, yeah, I've had a terrible life, right? And I'm like, what? Dude, come on, man. It hasn't been that bad. But some of us have that perspective, right? I've just had a terrible life, and this is just more proof that my life is terrible, right? This struggle is just a continuation of the last struggle, and I'm going to go from this one into that one because my life is terrible, right? So, guys, we're going to change our perspective right now, and you guys are going to do this. You're going to say these two truths out loud, all right? We're going to do it together. Number one, first thing we're going to say into our situation is, my struggle is temporary. My struggle is temporary. Number two, my struggle has a purpose. Has a purpose. Guys, this changes everything, right? Because it's not forever. This struggle is leading you to something, right? It has a purpose to it. You are being built. You are being strengthened, right? And guys, we see this pattern in the Bible over and over and over again. Struggle before blessing. Struggle before blessing, right? In James, he said, look at Job. Look at the struggle that Job went through. And look at what God brought about afterwards, right? The Israelites had to wander through the desert for 40 years before they got to the promised land. David was chased by Saul through the wilderness for 8 years before he became king. Joseph got sold into slavery and then was thrown into prison before he became the number two in Egypt. He was running the country at that point. Struggle before blessing, because it's a process of refining, building, and growing, and it's preparing us for what God has in store. Psalm 71, 20 to 21 says, you who have made me, just think, remember that, made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up, you will increase my greatness and comfort me again. See, God is saying, or David, the guy I just talked about, who became king, he had some struggles, right? I mean, he was like living in the desert in Israel, trying to kill him for a long time. He goes, Lord, you made me go through those troubles, and you will rise me up again. And here's the important thing. He's not blaming God for his troubles. He's thanking him. He's thanking God for his troubles because we serve a powerful God who works all things together for the good for those who love him, right? And he's saying, God, you made me go through those troubles because you will revive me up again. You will bring me above where I was before. You are preparing me for something great, right? And guys, in that verse, James 1, verses 2 and 3, right? Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many types. It took me until I was 30 years old to figure out what that verse meant. And it was this week while I was driving, I was thinking about it, right? Because I always thought it meant like head down, push through, right? Like either that or like crazy person joy. Like, I just hit my thumb with a hammer. This is great. And then they stub their toe and they just snap, right? Like, that's not real joy, right? Or like fake joy. Like, yeah, this is great. Praise God. This is awesome. My life is falling apart. No, that's not what James is talking about at all. Here's the best way to describe it and understand it. Have you ever accomplished something hard, right? Whoever hiked a mountain and accomplished it, right? Alex, thinking of you, bud, right? Or you learned a new skill, or you learned how to play an instrument, or you overcame something that was difficult. You aced that class that was going to be really hard, or you created something out of nothing for the first time, right? How did you feel while you were doing it? Energized. You felt excited. You felt like you could do more. You could work harder than you have, right? Like, Stacy, when I get, like, my head on a project, like, I'm excited about it, I want to do it, Stacy's like, oh, I guess I'm not going to see Dan for a week, right? Because it's just, like, all I can think about. I'll stay up late. I'm getting it done. I'm, you know, typing it out. I'm, like, I'm out. I'm working on it, right? I've got more energy than I've ever had on this one thing. Because I'm pumped up. I'm excited. And that's the joy that James is talking about. He's saying, get past it. you're going great. You're going to do great things. You're going great places. Get excited about that. Get some joy in your life. Get some energy in your life. You can push through. You can become greater because you're going places. It's temporary and it has a purpose. It's temporary and it has a purpose. And guys, at my job, right? I talk to a lot of people. I see a lot of people and I hear this like all the time, probably like 6 times a week. Somebody sees me like, you know, the different plates I'm spinning or whatever. And they just go, well, you know what? I just don't know how you do it. Right? I just don't know. All right? And I'm like, I know. Because I got a purpose in my life. I'm working towards something. It's not going to be this hard forever. I'm building myself up. And I have a drive to get there. And it's easy. It's fun. It's energizing. Right? I've got more energy than most people because I enjoy what I do. And I know I'm heading to a place. And what's my purpose? It's to take care of my family, absolutely. But the first thing it is to bring glory to the one who sent me. Right? That is my ministry, is at work. My ministry are the people that I work for. Saying, I know he's a Christian. How is he going to show up on time? Is he going to do his job? Is he going to put in the work? Is he going to accomplish what he says he will? Right? That's my purpose, is to bring glory to him. And that's all of our purpose. Right? That's all of our purpose. So let's grab a hold of it. Forget about the struggle that we're in right now. Understand it for what it is. It's a growing process. And let's head towards that purpose. Are you guys with me? Sweet. So what do we need to learn? Right? So we got a purpose. What are one of the main things that we need to learn? This is true for me. It might be true for you. We need to learn to share empathy. We need to learn empathy and learn to share empathy. See, empathy is a human connection. It's an emotional connection. And going through a struggle is when you learn it, right? It's, you don't learn empathy when everything's great, because everything's great, right? It's just easy. And then you meet somebody who's struggling, and you're like, I can't relate, man. My life's awesome. All right, I've never had a struggle in my life. Empathy is an instant and powerful connection that you have somebody. It's the connection that, I've never been in the military, but I've seen 2 military guys meet, and they have that connection because they've both been through boot camp. Or they both served in the military. They've both been deployed. And they have that instant connection with one another. And that is so powerful. It's the reason why you hang out with the people who enjoy the same things as you do. Because you have that shared emotional connection, and it's deeper than any words. And guys, it's so powerful. Because guys, receiving empathy during a time of struggle, right, when you're in it, right, I'm in it, it's like a breath of fresh air, right? It's like somebody just lifting you up. It's that moment when you're like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only person who feels this way. I'm not crazy, right? I can get through this. That person got through it. I can get through this, right? But guys, here's the hard part, is to get empathy, you have to give empathy. And to give empathy, you got to break the veneer a little bit, right? You got to take the mask off for just a second. Did you guys know that the word personality comes from the word persona, which means mask, right? That means that the personalities that we've created is actually our mask, which is actually a good thing, right? Like, we all need personalities. We all need to be able to interact as a group. We can't all just be like throwing up our problems on everybody all the time. Like, society, we wouldn't get to space if we did that, right? We can't do that. But when you have a connection with somebody, when you're in a struggle, when you want to connect, be real, right? Share empathy. Remove the mask. And more than that, guys, more than the fact that it's a blessing to you and it's a blessing to the person that you've connected with, it's what Christ has commanded us to do. If we look at John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. But how did Christ love us? Did he love you like you love an object? Did he love you like you love your pet? right? Like, oh, my dog, he's so cute. He's so nice. Or he's so cuddly. Is that how Christ loved us? No. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then draw with confidence near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Jesus wanted to be able to empathize with you. He came to earth. He struggled, was tempted, didn't have sin, and was crucified. That way, when you come to Christ, you can come to him with confidence. And Christ will say, oh, you've been betrayed by your friends? Yeah, me too. I know how that feels. Oh, you've been beaten down by the world and rejected? Yeah, me too. I know how that feels, right? And we can have an emotional connection with our Savior. We can have that empathetic connection so that we can actually connect with Christ and reach out to him. And that's what he wants in the body. Love each other as I have loved you. That's his commandment. And that's the connection he wants us to have. Not a superficial one, not a fake one, a real connection. And guys, husbands, let's just talk as men for a minute, all right? I'm not trying to generalize, you know, gender roles or whatever, so just chill out. I'm just talking to guys, okay? Guys, we're not really super great at this, but it starts with us in our house. We set the tone in our homes, right? We set the mood. That's our responsibility. Ephesians 5:25 says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How do you love the church? He sympathizes with us. He can connect with us. He's understanding so that you can go to Christ with confidence. Can your wife come to you with confidence when she's had a hard day? Are you just going to throw it? You think you had a hard day? I had a terrible day, right? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to say, oh, well, you know, just work harder, right? Put your head down. That's how I am. Put your head down, work harder. Like if I had a t-shirt, it would be, I don't care, work harder, right? That's what my shirt would say on it, right? But guys, we have to break that, right? That is not how Christ has commanded us to lead our homes. Last week, Stacy and I, we just sat down, right? And like, this has been my mode just this week or last several months. Head down, work harder, get it done, get through, survive the struggle. Not thrive, no joy, get through it. That's been my mode. And finally, Stacy and I, like, just we sat down. We just started to share with each other, right? She's saying, man, this has been really hard. I'm like, I know it's been hard for you, babe. I see the work that you've been doing. I see, you know, the nights that you've been up, the early mornings, the craziness in the house. I get it. I know that's hard. And then what did she start to do? She goes, I know it's been hard for you too. I see, you know, the late nights, the travel, the work. I've seen you. You're putting it in the work. You're helping provide for our family. I've seen that. And then how did that make me feel? Valued, loved, respected, right? How many husbands want to feel valued, loved, respected by your wife? Every single one of you, right? Every single one of you. That's all we want. And it starts with us giving it away, giving empathy away to our wives, and not just head down, push forward, ignore it, push it deeper, right? Right? That's not how we do it. We want, it's how I am. I'm being real, all right? It's a struggle. It's a constant reminder. We have to constantly remind ourselves and go to Christ. Go to Christ with confidence. Are you guys with me so far? So far, so good. Amen? Rock and roll? All right, number two, the next thing that we need to learn. We need to learn how to be an encourager. be an encourager. Just make it a habit. I don't care what you're going through. Don't throw it on somebody else, right? Encourage them for two reasons. Number one, you don't know what they're struggling with, right? You don't know that that word of encouragement that you speak to somebody might be the only positive thing that they've heard all week, right? That positive word, that encouragement, that compliment, whatever it is, it might be the only thing. And then number two reason, if you make it a habit to seek out and compliment the good things that you see in others, you start to be able to see the good things that you see in yourself. You start to be able to appreciate your own strengths and appreciate what you're good at. Because the opposite of this is being a discourager, right? And how much of us naturally tend to be discouragers. He's not that good. He got lucky. He didn't work hard, right? His dad gave him all that, right? He lucked into that. He didn't put in the work. He doesn't deserve that, right? And we're discouraging, and we're discouraging, and we're discouraging. And then what do we feel once we get something? In the quiet, dark room, we think, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have this, right? And the insecurities start to take place, right? Those dark thoughts start to take root in your mind. And then when it comes time to reach for something, to go for a goal, to go for that next promotion, whatever it is, we go, oh, you don't deserve that. You shouldn't go for that, right? Because we're in a habit of discouragement. Get into a habit of encouragement. Don't have that habit of discouragement. And guys, I'll tell you what, you're in the right church. If you need encouragement, get around pastor. Like, when I first came to City Church, like, 6-7 years ago, whatever it was, I didn't have somebody in my life like pastor, right? I didn't have like a hard, you know, hard upbringing, right? I grew up comfortable. I have a great family, but I didn't have somebody who saw me every time he saw me, he wanted to encourage me. He said something positive. He said, oh man, you look good. Oh, you're so cool. Oh, you're doing this, right? And I'm like, yeah, man, that's cool. You're kind of right. I am good looking, aren't I? Right? And I started to feel encouraged. And that changed my life because I'm like, you know what? We should all be that way. We should all be that way. And so when I go to youth, I'm trying to encourage the kids. I'm just whatever. Parker, you sound awesome on the drums. You crushed it, bro. Right? Like, I mean, you're awesome. All the kids, I mean, they're working hard. They're committed. They're developing their talents. I mean, I'm just so impressed by that. Like, they're really good kids. Be an encourager to the people that you come in contact with every day and make it a habit. Make it a habit. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Guys, I could just go slide after slide after slide after slide of different verses in the Bible telling us to encourage and build one another up. Encourage and build one another up. But guys, husbands, let's bring it back to us, right? Because we set the tone in our house. Are you the type of husband and father who's an encourager? Are you building up in your home? Are you speaking life into your children and into your lives? Right? And I'm not even trying to relate with the guy. Like, if you're a discourager in your home, just stop. Okay? All right? Just cut it out. All right? Like, the world will toughen up your kids. You don't have to toughen them up to get them ready to get out there, all right? Like, I was a kid once. It's wild, right, out there. Your kids need someone that they can come home to and who's going to build them back up and lift them up off the floor and say, you can do this. You got this. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ's strength. They need somebody to build them up, not tear them down at home. I'm not even going to talk to those guys. Here's who I want to talk to. The guys like me. I'm not in my home trying to actively discourage anybody or anything. But here's what I'm guilty of. I go to work. I'm, you know, 8 to whatever, and I'm an encourager, right? Yeah, 8 to whatever. I'm an encourager, right? I'm building people up. I'm high-fiving. You know, I'm moonwalking through offices, right? I'm high energy. Maybe you're in the ministry, and when you're up here, you're fired up. You've got 100% of your energy. You're encouraging. You're building ministries. And then you go home, and your family gets leftovers. They get your drained out energy with nothing left in the tank. But where are our priorities as husbands, right? Where we need to save some energy. We need to save some for our families. We can't just go home and just be dead, just drop dead. And guys, it's hard, right? It's really hard to maintain that and to keep that. We were at Encounter Conference probably 5 or 6 years ago. It was in Albany. So I don't know. It was a while ago, right? And one of the speakers there, he was a fighter jet pilot, like his whole career. He was in the Air Force. He flew fighter jets. And I don't know. I don't know what kind of work stress comes from being a fighter jet pilot, but I probably will never understand the level of it, right? He had a high stress job. And he said every day he would come home and he'd pull in the driveway and he would sit in his car for 15 minutes. And he'd recenter, right? He'd breathe. He'd get the stress of the day off of him. And he said because he knew that he was going into the most important part of his day as soon as he stepped into that door. And, like, I wasn't married. I wasn't even thinking about getting married back then, but that stuck with me. And I think about that from time to time. Is me walking into my house at the end of my day, is that, in my mind, the most important part of my day? Or did I spend all my energy at work? Right? Did I encourage everybody that I came in contact at work? Be an encourager in your home. Change that habit. Find joy in it. We good? You guys get it? All right. Next one. Next thing we need to do is rally your tribe. Find the people around you that want to help and bless you. Right? And guys, this is the hardest thing in the world for me to do. Like, I am not that guy. Okay? Like, I'm going through something. If I'm struggling, like, I didn't even want to talk about it in the beginning. That's why I made it a joke, because I didn't want to talk about it. I don't want pity. I don't want help. I don't want to admit I need something, right? I'm a prideful person. We all are. It's hard to ask for help, but let me make something crystal clear. The value or the quality of the life that my family, my 2 daughters enjoy would not be possible without the love and selfless help of our families and the people who love us. Ryan said something the other day, and I haven't been able to get it out of my head. He said, I am not a self-made man. I am not a self-made man. And guess what, guys? You shouldn't be. There's no value in going it on your own and getting 10% of where you could have gone. There's no value in this. And I wonder how many men that are destined for greatness stop before they even start because they're too proud to ask for help. You're too proud to say, I'm in over my head. I need help. I'm like here, like the water's coming, the power's out, I can't get it going, water's rising. How many of us are too proud to admit that we need our crew, that we need our tribe? Asking for help accomplishes 2 things and only costs 1. It accomplishes blessing you and the person blessing you, right? Anybody helped somebody in their life? How'd you feel after you helped them? Were you like, I'm never going to do that again? No, you felt great. You're like, oh, man, I should do this more often. I should go full-time ministry, right? You feel all pumped up because you got to help somebody. You went on a missions trip. You started helping and blessing, right? You feel great. And the only thing that it costs is our pride. It's admitting it. And, man, it's hard. It's hard to admit sometimes. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. You guys all know this. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken. How many of us in this room right now are struggling silently? Right? You got to struggle. You're in it. You're trying to survive it. Head down. Ignore it. Push it deep. There's somebody to your left or your right who's been through it. There's somebody here who can connect with you emotionally, who can put their arm around you and help you through it. Don't be too prideful to admit that. Okay? Don't be too prideful to admit it. And guys, this is my last point. The last thing that we need to learn and understand, and it's the one that I hate the most. Patience. Patience. Like, I am the most impatient person, right? Like, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to start working out. I'll do like 20 sit-ups, and I'll be like, all right, where's my six-pack? Like, wow, well, that was a waste of time. That didn't take. Let's quit that, right? And how many of us ask God for something that we want and then blame God while he's preparing us to get it, right? We're like, God, I need a wife. Give me a wife. I need one, right? And then 3 months later, we're like, God didn't give me a wife. I don't have one, and it's God's fault. And God's like, listen, you don't got a job. You're in debt. You don't have anywhere to live. I'm trying to teach you a work ethic and humility to prepare you to become a husband before I give you a wife. And you're complaining to me that you don't have one yet. Like, learn your purpose. Figure out the purpose in the struggle. Find some joy in it. Get excited about the wife that God's preparing for you, right? Because she's going to be great. Because mine's great. Mine's awesome. I don't deserve her, right? How many of us ask for God for a blessing, and then we blame him because he's prepping us for it? And we say, well, that didn't work out. 3 months in, guys, you realize how long Joseph was in prison for, right? God gave him a vision that his brothers would bow down before him, and he goes and he tells them, like a moron, right? And then they throw him in a pit, and then he goes to jail, he gets accused, it's a whole thing, right? That whole process took like 18 years, right? It took 18 years for that whole thing to happen. You don't think he was sitting in prison like, wow, thanks God. Thanks for this, right? God was preparing him because he was going to have a lot of responsibility coming his way. David was told as a young boy that he would be king, right? And what did his family do? They kicked him back out into the fields. And then he comes, hey, I'm going to like conquer Goliath or whatever. And then they laughed at him, right? And then he just turns out he's got some talent, nice young boy. And then his mentor tries to kill him and chases him for 8 years. At some point in that 8 years, you think David was like, thanks, God. You really, really led me into this one, right? And started to blame him. But we can read in the Psalms that he didn't. He said, you made me go through those trials, and you will raise me up again. You will raise me up again, and we need to remember that. Psalms 27, verses 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good for those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That sounds like having some energy, right? That sounds like some joy in your struggle. You're able to rise up on wings like eagle. You can walk and you won't grow faint. People go, I don't know how you do it. And you say, I've got energy. I've got purpose. I've got drive. And I know where I'm going. Find joy in your struggle. Stop blaming God for it. And just understand that he's working on you. And he's putting you in a certain direction. Amen? So guys, I'm going to close. It's just going to be like another 3 minutes. If you want to come up on the piano, brother. Thanks, man. I'm going to close. And guys, as I was writing this, and as I was thinking about it and going through a struggle and living in it, I just felt God kept putting his finger on my role in my house as the man. I just felt God just kept saying, this is your responsibility. This is you. It starts with you. It starts with you. It starts with you. You, us, men, we're responsible for our homes. We're responsible for the tone that we set, for the words that are said. That is our realm. And that's who I want to pray for. The way I want to do this, and if Pastor, if you would join me as I pray, I would like Ryan, if you wouldn't mind, to stand up here. I would like Nathan and Micah to stand up here. Guys, I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor to close in prayer. Men who have been through struggle and seen the blessing are these guys. These guys have been through it. They've been through struggle, and they've seen blessing on the other side. And if you're a man and you're in a struggle right now, and you're saying, God, I need help. I need strength. I encourage you as I pray just to come down and let one of these three men of God encourage you and just pray for you. This isn't therapy. They're just going to pray for you. They're going to lay their hands and pray for the Lord of power to give you the encouragement and the vision and the focus that you need. Dear Lord, we invite you in, Lord. Even now, as you're working on men's hearts and as they're coming down, Lord, we pray, God, for a supernatural movement of your spirit, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll help us as men be encouragers. We pray, God, that you won't let the discouragement that we feel in our own minds turn into words that we then start to tear down and discourage our family, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll give us a vision for the future, a hope for the future. Help us understand the purpose that you have for us, Lord. Give us strength and energy and joy in our struggles. And God, I just pray, Lord, that now as you're working, that hearts and lives will be changed. In Jesus' name.